In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, you may know this about me already, but I am a big fan of Mark Twain. This past week, being New Year's, I was reminded of something he once said. He said, "New Year's Day, now is the accepted time to make your regular annual good resolutions. Next week, you can begin paving hell with them as usual." New Year's resolutions are kind of interesting, you know. They're always something you know you need to improve about yourself. I said this year I was going to be realistic and resolve to lose weight that I gained during the holidays. Not that that will do much good, because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, I was fat back in August. This is our first church service of the new year, 2021. And the first church service in this new year that is no longer that abomination that we have known as the year 2020. But what is unique about today? Well, our gospel reading is one that we very rarely hear. It's one of the famous stories about the life of Jesus, but it gets sandwiched as one of the alternative readings for this Sunday. And inevitably, priests and pastors choose one of the other readings, about the three wise men, or about Joseph taking Mary and the infant Jesus and fleeing into Egypt. And it's a shame we don't talk about this story more. Here at Christ Church, we actually have a window depicting these events. The finding in the temple, also called Christ among the doctors, or sometimes even called the disputation, is recounted only in the Gospel of Luke. It's the only event of the later childhood of Jesus mentioned in the gospel. Jesus, at the age of 12, accompanies Mary, Joseph, and a large group of their relatives and friends to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage for Passover. On the day of their return, Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but Mary and Joseph thought that he was among their group. Parenting has apparently changed a lot in 2,000 years. After they realized that they were living out the plot from Home Alone, they returned to Jerusalem and found Jesus 3 days later. He was in the temple teaching and being taught. Mary, like any good mother, scolded Jesus, and I'm pretty certain the gospel whitewashes this, and I think we can all agree Mary flat lost her mind on Jesus that day. Jesus didn't get what all the fuss was about. He said to them, "Why are you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" A beautiful and poignant answer for the Son of God, but probably not one that prevented a major meltdown when they got back home to Nazareth. It's a fascinating story, and it got me thinking this week. Jesus went to the temple because it was his Father's house. The temple was his Father's house. We go to our Father's house too. It's not the temple. For us, it's the church. And it's pretty easy to figure out why Jesus was at the temple. But my question today is, my brothers and sisters, why do we go to church? Why do we go to church? Why now do we tune in on Sunday mornings? It's a really important question each of us should be asking ourselves. Do we go to worship God? Do we go to be reminded and to live in the love shown to us by our Creator? Do we go because we love God? Or did we go when we could go in person in order to see and be seen? Is church a social club for us? Do we tune in to this live stream because we think we'll earn brownie points with God? Do we go so that we can be told over and over again that what we're doing is right, that we're right, and then sit around gloating in the smug complacency of our rightness? Sadly, I think that those may far too often be the reason many in Western civilization, quote-unquote, go to church. There's actually one reason far more insidious that may be the major motivating force for many in our culture to go to church. You know what it is? I've preached on it before, but it's the fear of hell. Many go to church not because of a love for God, a desire to learn more about God, or even to gain a closer relationship with God or with God's people. They go, even if they may not admit it, because they have, in the backs of their minds, turned God into a divine boogeyman, ready to pounce when we die if we haven't checked off some imaginary set of obligations here on earth. Too many believe, as Voltaire once said, God is a comedian playing to an audience too afraid to laugh. There's a beautiful hymn in our hymnal. It's number 682. Listen to these words. I love thee, Lord, but not because I hope for heaven thereby, nor yet for fear that loving not I might forever die. But for that thou didst all the world upon the cross embrace, for us didst bear the nails and spear and manifold disgrace, in griefs and torments numberless, in sweat of agony, e'en death itself, and all for one who was thine enemy. Then why, most loving Jesus Christ, should I not love thee well, not for sake of winning heaven, nor any fear of hell, not with the hope of gaining aught, nor seeking a reward, but as thyself hast loved me, O ever-loving Lord. Even so I love thee, and will love, and in thy praise will sing, solely because thou art my God and my eternal King. My brothers and sisters, why are we going to church? Why do we go to our Father's house by way of Facebook or YouTube these days? Why do we go to this place? Why do we turn here? Are we going because we're afraid? Are we going because we expect something in return? Are we going only because we want to get into heaven? Or are we going because we love a magnificent God who created us, redeemed us, loved us, and continues to love us, and wants us to be with him eternally? To accomplish this, came down from heaven to be fully human, a fact we celebrate here during the Christmas season. If that doesn't motivate you to get out of bed on Sunday mornings, my brothers and sisters, I just don't know what will. Maybe this should be our New Year's resolution, to try to get to church ever how we safely hold it more often. Or better yet, to share the experience of worshiping a loving and caring God with someone we know who maybe hasn't had that opportunity. Invite friends to like our Facebook page or subscribe to the YouTube channel. Share our posts or emails. Send copies of our letters to friends and family. And when we are joyfully able to safely worship together again, bring someone you love with you to church. You may not get brownie points with God for bringing friends to church, but you sure will with your priest. I hope that in this new year, in 2021, we can live our lives, lead our church, and proclaim to the world the good news of God in Christ with the outlook from that hymn. When we do that, we can truly come into our Father's house in person or virtually in love, show forth love, and build up the body of Christ here in Bluefield or wherever we may be. I hope we're all at that point already, but my brothers and sisters, there are so many out there in this hurting world who have never heard of a love like this, much less from the God they thought they knew. Let's change that. And as we move into the Epiphany season, make the God of love known to this world. Amen.